If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love, light, and sound of the Supreme Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Finding and Maintaining Balance and Equanimity in Today's World. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward from the divine monadic plane where you are ever one with God. In a stream of divine love, light, and sound that is indwelling your physical body in time-space. Realize that you are the living word. You are the living love. You are the living light of the Beloved. You are the Beloved. And that is simply what you come to discover within the journey that soul takes in many states of consciousness through the illusions of time and space and becoming. So again, take a deep breath and allow that vastness that is the divine self to fully inhabit as much as would be for the highest good, your physical biosphere. Visualize, if you like, your sun as a radiant, your heart as a radiant sun. And allow it to expand. And with its expansion, see the unification of all your chakras as they expand into one unified heart field. Till your whole being is a globe of divine glory, an orb, if you will, of divine glory. Realize that you are the conscious awareness, the energy, not the container. The container is simply a means to allow you to be visible in this dimension. You actually have 7 different containers for your awareness. You have, first of all, the God form, the God body, if you will. And its form is everything. The God form is everything. And at your highest state, you are one with everything. And then you have the extension out of that that you call the soul, or the jivi, jivatma. And that embodies a particular facet of inquiry, a certain point of view that moves through the densities of time, space, to acquire experience. It's inquisitive. It's the seeker. And then you have the etheric, which gives you the energy, the prana, the blueprint. That is the body, you might say, of your energetic blueprint And then you have the mental body, which is filled with all that you've ever known. Ever known in countless existences. And then you have the causal body that contains the seeds which come to fruition in time-space. That is the body of the emotions. And then you have the astral body, the body of imagination. And lastly, the physical body, which is love made visible in time, space. And so, as we begin to sequentially dematerialize, which is really what we're doing, on the spiritual path, we are sequentially dematerializing. We are moving to ever more subtle levels of our omnipresent beingness. We lighten and jettison the load as we let go of attachments and points of identification that have secured us in positions of illusion. And as we jettison them, we lighten, and we move into more of the next level, the next body of manifestation, and the next, until like a puddle in the sunlight, we dissolve into that divine radiance of the all that is. And it is a beautiful, beautiful uncloaking, if you will, as we keep stepping free. You'll find that as you progress in your spiritual awareness, greater and greater freedom and joy and centered composure becomes more and more your bed of consciousness. You begin to find that place of balance between the seen and the unseen, the inner and the outer. And that place in which you can manifest as a truly effective, integrated human being. But in your higher consciousness, you are completely illumined. And that, I believe, is the yoga of today, where we live in the world. But bear in mind, we import the world we live in. The world is not something apart from your perception. It exists exactly as you would have it to be. For it is in the mind itself that the world of experiential reality that each one of us lives and moves about in is generated. The world is your interpretation, nothing more and nothing less. Jesus makes that very clear in his teachings in A Course in Miracles. So to shift anything in the world requires an inner shift in what you would have real. So one of the first things we need to do in finding and maintaining balance and equanimity in today's world is don't mind too much. Don't place importance and value in the impermanent chimera, the illusory appearance, like a conjuration of a magician, shimmering like a mirage in time-space. Don't mind too much. When we are completely functioning in the state of ignorance, we make a tremendous importance out of things which 5 years from now we probably won't even remember. Or if we do, it'll be, well, yeah, that was then. But based on where you are today, you will come to bless everything that was then. So let's just save ourselves a lot of time and move to the blessing right now. Everything in life is the way it is meant to be, based on what you have elected as your way to awaken the most rapidly and efficiently and elegantly and simply. So let me ask you, what specifically are you seeking? This is the most important question for you to answer for yourself. What are you seeking? You might want to take this question into contemplation and really consider what it is you are seeking in life. Then contemplate what you've done today to attain whatever it is you are seeking. So when you clearly see what it is you are seeking and what you've done today to attain that, to move toward that, you will have uncovered two of your most important keys to fulfilling your life's purpose. What you are doing right now today is either taking you toward fulfilling your purpose or away from it. Because life is never static. You are either progressing or declining. And awareness is life. Awareness is God. Expanding awareness is infinity. And you are life. You are God. You are expanding awareness. You are infinity. And you're living in all of that now. It's not something that you're going to be. It's what is now. You're just becoming aware of it. You are unlimited awareness awakening from self-imposed human limitation. You are awakening yourself now. You're setting yourself free now, today. So have a look if you want to. Things in the material world require time to work themselves out. Time and gradual unfoldment. So observe how everything in life operates in seasons and cycles, periods of activity and periods of rest. And there's a natural flow and order of life. And in that, nature is the most eloquent preacher. So observe life, seasons, animals, and their cycles of behavior, the gradual blossoming of flowers, the ease and graceful relaxed awareness of cats, the steadfast one-pointed focus and unconditional love and loyalty of dogs for their masters. The transcendental freedom of birds and their joyous birdsong. Observe the trees. Notice how resilient the trees are that are indigenous to tropical areas bombarded by typhoons and hurricanes. They bend with the wind, whereas more rigid trees are broken or toppled over. So nature can teach us how to survive if we open ourselves to it. When you cultivate loving harmony and harmlessness, Nature itself will protect you, and the snakes and wild animals will never harm you. It is said that the ravens fed the prophet Elijah when he was living in a cave on the banks of the river Cherith. It is said they brought him meat and bread, morning and evening. When the great sage Lao Tzu attained enlightenment in a cold, damp cave, the deer came down to keep him warm at night, and the tiger came to lick his brow and cool it in the day's heat. And I'm pretty sure they brought him food as well. For many are the stories of the yogis that were and are being ministered to by the animals. So all of nature will come to assist you in your spiritual path when you quit fighting that which is. The present isness of your life is the place in which you are meant to find and anchor yourself in the still point of God's presence. In the midst of the tornado, in the midst of the hurricane, in the midst of the whatever, you have to find that place of peace, that birthless, deathless, eternal, centered place of equanimity. And it can only be found by you. Those of us who found it can tell you about it. But it's like reading the menu to a starving person. That person has to order the meal and eat it and pay for it. So the point I'm making is that we need to position ourselves where that which we seek can be found. Bear in mind that nothing changes in the material world. All change is orchestrated from a higher level than the level upon which the change manifests. So here in this material world that's based upon time, time and mind, meaning the lower ego mind, the doer, decider, in the material world, that time and that portion of the lower mind are one and the same. And that's why the mind is what brings the change into the material level. But to bring real permanent change, you have to transcend the mind and operate from a higher level of that mind, which has been called the divine mind, or the buddhi, or soul awareness. And that's what you learn to transcend through the stillness of meditation. You learn to transcend. That's the purpose of every mantra, is to carry, to grab and carry the mind beyond that thinking ego portion, beyond time, into that creative portion that's perfectly one with divine source. As you touch into that each time you meditate, you touch to it, and you bring more and more of that quality down into your lower mind, into your waking consciousness, more and more, until pretty soon that takes over the direction of your life. And with it comes a beauty and an ease and a grace and balance and equanimity that we could never orchestrate on our own. It's something that must be imported. Now, every time you have an aha moment of insightfulness, or we could call it a vision or a level of initiation, because that's simply the opportunity of awakening your awareness on a higher level And so you're given an experience or a vision in some manner. Could happen in your waking state, your sleeping state, your dream state, meditative state. Or you could be doing like I did one day. I bent over to pet a cat, and I fell into a deep state of divine bliss. But after you've had that experience, then the work begins, because you have to import that, which occurred at a higher level, in a higher body. You have to import that and integrate that with your conscious self in the physical world. And that takes the practicing of your spiritual awareness and consistent spiritual practice. Meditation, practicing mindfulness during your day. Reading, studying the teachings of the enlightened masters. You begin to replace that lower approach to life that's based pretty much in social, materialistic consciousness. You begin to replace that with transcendental awareness. Now, the highest virtue is humility. Only humility will give any kind of an indication that one is moving into the state of true surrender, of truly living a laid-down, yielded life. You know, when a priest or a nun is ordained in the Catholic Church or in the Eastern traditions, they lay down with their arms outstretched and their forehead down on the ground before the altar. In India, it's called the Danda Namaskar. Danda meaning stick. You lie down, and the nine points of the body are prostrated before the Almighty. That's what I refer to when I'm talking about a laid-down life. You give up what you thought of was your agenda, realizing that probably most of you listening to me have done just about everything. You probably tried every approach. And now you're getting to the place of complete yieldedness, where you give over your life to the Holy Spirit. And you allow that divine spirit to live you from now on. The divine spirit is the speaker, the listener, the animator, the motivator, the doer. It is the very power of Almighty God released at last to operate through the human vehicle. And that's the only reason we've been given a human vehicle, is to reach ultimately that state where the Almighty can operate through us as its instruments. We are incarnations of that one Atma, that one divine spirit. And we're a very, very mixed bag. Within the human being is everything. That's why we're so fascinating. We have the elementals of earth, wind, fire, water, and ether that combine to make all of those bodies that I was speaking of just a moment ago. Elementals and devic life forms and angelic life forms and extraterrestrial and super ultra extraterrestrial, great, great, great consciousnesses have all combined to close us at those different levels. We are all of that. One day when you care to look, if you wish to look or are given to look, you will see that you're everything. You are the elementals. You are the devas. You are the angels. You are the animals. You are the human man. You are the human. You are the superhuman. You are the divinely realized. You're everything. And so in sorting ourselves out, the best place to start is to know the self, to, as I often say, stalk yourself like a wildcat stalking prey. Watch yourself. Get to know yourself. And then forget yourself entirely, utterly. Lose sight of yourself and dissolve into that omnipresent self. So there are stages in that laying down, stage of true humility. It's interesting that the word humility has H-U, as the very first letters. Hu being the most ancient word for God, the most ancient name for God, the heavenly, universal, beyond name and form and of any description, is defined by the name Hu. Humility. And then in that humility, you fill your heart with such love that it expands sun. You become a unified field of such divine love that that is the world, the only world that shows up for you. You can tell when you're in that expanded state because the world is filled with love and the presence of God. When it's not, it means, as Jesus would say in the Course of Miracles, that there's still dark lessons lurking in the mind. The mind is still in the stage of being healed, transformed from ego mind to the Christ mind. And that is the work that the Holy Spirit is working in you and me and everyone from within. All we need do is offer the Holy Spirit a little willingness, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. How do we offer the little willingness? We step back and allow the Holy Spirit to lead the way. How do you do that? Your first line of approach before you do anything is prayer. You ask before you step out to do anything, before you make a decision, before you make a commitment. You go silent and you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And then you contemplate that action. And you feel the sensations that arise in your heart. If it's clear, your heart will feel clear. If it's not clear, there will be a certain withhold of loving, a withhold of energy. It will sort of clunk. Sometimes it's very slight, but it still means it doesn't resonate clarity for you to do that. So don't act until it is clear. Don't allow people and things to push you out of alignment with divine directive. You learn to tune into and read the energy of people, books, events, situations, choices, locations, everything. You check with the Holy Spirit. You don't assume that you're in control because you're not. you've never been in control. The ego would like you to think that it's in control, but it's the weakest, most insecure, most completely fallible nothingness that ever tried to assert itself as a somethingness. The ego is simply a thought form of separation and fear. That's all. Separation and fear, which are the same things, really. So we have all of these different energies within us. And each of these little life forms are part of our household of consciousness that we're bringing home to God. The elementals, the devas, that form our subtle bodies, are all evolving through interacting with the conscious self that is the human. The animal kingdom, from which we have inherited our physical bodies, is evolving through interacting with man, and certain animals are getting ready for their first human incarnations several thousand years from now. So that your cats and your dogs, your elephants, your horses, your macaws, your chimpanzees, and probably a few other animals, are getting ready to take human form, probably as a basic self. I know Sai Baba said that his elephant, Sai Gita, in her next lifetime would be a woman devotee. So maybe it's not as far away as several thousand years according to the esoteric books. Maybe it's sooner. But the point is, everything is awakening to become a human being. Because only the human being is aware of God as itself, is self-aware in relation to God, and has free will. Only the human being can choose to go the way of the ego or to follow the Holy Spirit. That's free choice. In fact, Sai Baba said that the only thing that God does not possess in all of creation is the human heart. The human heart must be given to God of your own free will. You must invite the Lord to manifest his presence within your heart and to take charge of your life through his Holy Spirit. So then you start to live a life that's beyond the human ego. Then you start moving into what is called a true human. And gradually, you begin to move into the superhuman levels, and you begin to attain self-realization. You begin to realize the divine self. This morning, when I was coming back to my body, I heard someone say, pointing to my body, that which indwells this body is an angel. And kind of took me aback. And then I remembered how many, 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 many years ago when I wrote about the Ashtar Command, I had mentioned that Ashtar and myself originally come out of what is called the angelic kingdom through respectively Archangel Michael and Archangel Gabriel. And then and primarily are what are called the herald angels. The herald angels are those that proclaim the glad tidings of the Almighty into time and space. In fact, our very, very first message to humanity was recorded in the Bible as the voice that spoke from heaven to the shepherds that were tending their sheep that night. And the voice said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill. That was our very first message, probably trumpeted, transmitted in some way from the Star of Bethlehem, which was the Ashtar command ship that brought the spirit that entered the body as Jesus of Nazareth. That was the message. And so the goings and the comings of radiant angels that are recorded in the Bible were all emissaries from the Ashtar command. And we know they appeared very human-like as man, because when Abraham saw them coming, he had his wife Sarah prepare them meat and bread, and he fed them. So again and again, the interaction of what has been termed angels very often applies to higher dimensional beings, not necessarily of the angelic kingdom, but they can be. I said in the article that I wrote on the Ashtar Command that at some point, the man known as Commander Ashtar decided to come into the line of the Kumaras and enter the human line of manifestation in his work in the lower heavens within the galaxy of which he has jurisdiction. So that would pretty much spell my lineage as well. But it also answers my nature, which I can remember from childhood, only felt truly happy when I was in an atmosphere of worship where God was being adored. I loved to sing to God and to chant. And really, the only activity that I actually enjoy at all is being in a congregation of worship, where active worship is taking place, preferably charismatic, spirit-filled worship. But I enjoy all of the different forms of worship of all the world religions, where God is being glorified, and the holy names are being intoned, and people are experiencing the ecstatic state of invoking and participating and experiencing the divine presence. So if your nature is like that, you probably have come from the angelic realms. Angels are deputized to serve. They are sent to serve. They are servants of God and servants of humanity. Not just humanity. I mean, there's angels that preside over every area of nature. But in terms of the human being, whenever you've been baptized in a faith, you have been given a guardian angel. And then you have what is called a great kindle angel, which kind of presides like a higher self over your entire life path. And then there are different angels that work with you in different aspects of your life. Angels of healing, angels of prayer, angels of adoration. Angels that are placed with you when you undergo any of the sacraments in the church, like confirmation, for example. An angel is placed with you during Christian confirmation to help to stabilize the spiritual energy in your body when you're just getting ready to go into your teen years, similar to the bar mitzvah and the bat mitzvah. You're connecting with the divine in a very specific way that will help you in your life to stay on the right path. So angels guard your divine destiny. they accompany you in the major points of your life, when you're being born, when you're leaving this body. They protect you from accidents. They come to your aid in many, many ways. And so it's not always easy to tell the difference between one of the inner plane disciples that is part of the ashram of the master that you're affiliated with, because sometimes they will come to you and work with you, or an angel that is appearing. After a while, you can tell the difference. There's a little difference in the auric field. But generally, when you see someone, it's like the people in the Bible. They didn't really recognize them, other than they knew they were somehow divine. And the word angelos means actually messenger. So the angel is often the messenger of the divine to you and in your life. Now, extraterrestrials can be angelic, they can be devic, and some of the ones that appear, like little guys, are often elementals of the air, sometimes called sylphs. These are air and elementals, or devic elementals. So there's all different kinds of beings that live off Terra, which would be extraterrestrial, off-planet beings. Many of them dwell within the inner Earth and are not extraterrestrial at all, but intraterrestrial. But when I speak of the Ashtar Galactic Command, I'm speaking of very, very highly evolved, angelic and human ascended and non-ascended master beings. Generally, like Ashtar, they have attained what we would call the equivalency of human perfection and ascended mastery on planets other than the Earth. In the case of Lord Ashtar, he attained his mastery and ascension on the planet Ashtar, which is in the chain of Venus, there being seven globes or subtle bodies that constitute what we would call the Venusian chain of worlds. And Ashtar is one of those worlds. Ashtar basically presides over this galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, and of course has personnel on planet Earth, I'm told, numbering in the millions. So many of you that listen to our radio show each week are Earth-based personnel from the Ashtar Command. How would you know? Well, I think you know because you have a sense that you're here on Earth assignment. The idea of I remember the first time I heard the word Ashtar Command, I trembled and burst into tears. I had no idea what it was, but the vibration itself had that reaction in me. And we're down here to serve humanity. Bottom line, we're here to awaken people to their divinity. That's our message. That's our voice. And so we speak into the awakening of consciousness. It's not about seeing UFOs. That's kind of like going to a car show. There are vehicles. But they're not nuts and bolts such as you would think of them as being. They're manifestations of transcendental consciousness that has expanded to the degree that it can inhabit a purpose as a field of light that shows up like a spaceship. But it's our conjoined intention and purpose that forms as the ships of light. And yes, when you're on them and in them, they're as tangible and solid as the room that you're sitting in right now. Because everything is manifested by thought and consciousness. Nothing is really solid. You look at your chair in your living room, your rug, your child, yourself, under a high-powered microscope, and you're going to see just energy with large spaces in between. When you look out at the night sky through a telescope, all you're seeing is particles with vast space between them, which then again is inhabited by subatomic particles, so small and so minute. I think the smallest is called a muon so far that they've discovered, a quark and then a muon. But what I'm saying is that every single bit of space that looks empty is inhabited by beings and worlds and levels of consciousness and dimensions and wonderful things. And as we expand our knowledge and awareness of ourselves, as we begin to anchor and find that point of stillness and balance within our own inner being, that becomes our blast-off platform. Because when you're fully anchored and centered in the divine self, then you can move your inner spiritual awareness and awaken on other levels. But first you have to get your act together down here. Otherwise, you're a space cadet and nothing is quite aligned within you. So it takes patience and gradual unfoldment and application to a daily and consistent spiritual program that you choose. Nobody tells you what you need. You find what food best feeds your spirit, your soul, your spiritual life. You find it. And you apply yourself every day, and that becomes your anchor. That's how you maintain balance and equanimity. If you're not anchored in God, everything else is shifting sand. So get your feet upon the rock of the Christ, the presence indwelling, the divine spirit, the Lord. Anchor yourself there. Anchor through the name of God. Anchor through the conscious presence of God. And then begin to bring that higher awareness down more and more and more and more into your physical body. Life in the lower realms is designed to be dualistic. Everything operates here through polarity. So balance here is not going too far to the right or too far to the left. It's to take the middle way that the Buddha taught. The middle way. Don't polarize. If you polarize too much to light, then you come into conflict with the darkness. If you polarize too far into the darkness, the negative power will try to take you over. Stay in the middle, but stay in that place of divine neutrality, which we would call soul awareness. Exercise discernment, detachment, and awareness as you move between the pairs of opposites that constantly are at play in this world. Another way of defining the two energies is the psychic field and the field of the Holy Spirit. The psychic has to do with the occult phenomena of the psychic and material dimensions of illusion. It's highly unstable and is always shifting. The other polarity is that of the Holy Spirit, which is non-inflictive. It allows you to go the way of your free will until you want only to merge with the will of God. When you wish to merge with the will of God, you discover there's only the will of God. Your will and God's will are one and the same when you awaken. So what you can do right now to improve your circumstances, let me give you a little technique here. And this is something you can always do regardless of what's going on. When you find yourself in a situation where you're being hard-pressed, oppressed, battered, whatever. Whatever the negative situation is, or the crises, come present, right here, right now. Be fully present with whatever is going on in your life. Just stop. Center yourself in the present nowness of whatever is going on. And just breathe. Breathe. Bring all of yourself present. Your thoughts, feelings, everything. Bring them all home to your breath. To that life-giving spirit that's breathing you. And now just simply sing, either silently in your mind or audibly, you. That's it. H-U, like the name of a man or the color or color. Hue. And that's it. You breathe and you sing hue. Breathe and hue. And begin to notice how everything starts to quiet down and mellow out. It's just almost immediate. In fact, you may begin to sigh or release stress by yawning. You may even drift off to sleep, which means you've moved into another dimension, perhaps to review your situation from a higher vantage point. You can work out a lot of karma that way, and then you can come back with clarity and an answer to what you need to do next. But when you return to a conscious state, don't rush back into your problematic situation. Don't lend it any more fuel or try to make it real. Don't try to make your dilemma real. It's not. But you make it real by repeated attention and involvement with it. So just don't mind so much. Let it be. Allow it to work itself out. It's amazing how things work themselves out when you consign them to the name of God, when you release them to the divine spirit. Allow the power and presence of the hue of the divine spirit to work it out. You just stay in that still point, focused here and now, on your breath, and the sacred name of God, Hue. So that's your anchor. That's your still point. That's your safe refuge. That's your hiding place. That's the secret place of the Most High. So, by singing the hue softly within your mind or audibly, you are invoking the presence of the divine spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Within your breath and the name of God, you will find your place of peace, no matter what's going on without. And the powerful vibrations of the sacred hue will begin to neutralize the negativity, and will bring harmony and healing present in you and in the situation at hand. You don't have to do anything. The silent hue in your mind will do that. And you don't chant it to change the outer, because that's manipulating and using power. You chant it as a love song to God because you love God and you're surrendering to God. Not because you're trying to do some power thing to change the outer situation. But I'm just saying that as you change that, your inner state of consciousness becomes transcendental to your dilemma. And this is where, in simply doing nothing but that, you're doing everything that needs to be done to import peace, healing, and God's presence into any present crises or disharmonious situation. You know, if you get in an argument, it takes two people to argue. So instead of arguing back, zip it and silently chant "Hew" in your mind. You know, it says in the Bible that a soft word turns away wrath. So these are ways that we can live in the world in a way that doesn't bait the bear. You know, you're not out there antagonistically being so much light that the dark automatically sees you as a good target to throw brickbats at. So walk in the middle way and divine balance and equanimity through your environment. Don't encroach on the territory of others. Don't give your opinion and constantly have to correct people and advise them and tell them things to do when you're not asked to do that. Live and let live. But also respect your boundaries and respect the space and the privacy and boundaries of other people. You really learn to be responsible for yourself. And in that, you create balance and harmony and order in your home, your 10 acres, and that has a very balancing and healing and harmonizing effect on everyone and everything in your arena, in your environment. And it translates into the collective and helps to bring balance and order in society and on the planet. So that is the way to live. Balanced, in a state of equanimity, while you live in this world. Don't expect the world to change, because the world is simply a reflection of your own state of being. But when you're in that centered place, one with the divine heart, you will find that the whole world is filled with love, and the presence of God will radiate to you from every form that you see. And your life will be bliss. Your life will be one of calm, centered awareness and compassionate action where required. And ultimately, you find that you are the you. You have merged with the divine spirit and are one with the living love of God. So let's take a deep breath. And we'll go out chanting Anai Hu. You can use Anai Hu also as part of that mantra. We'll do it one time because we're running a little close to the hour. Deep breath. God bless you. May you all awaken to the divine love that you are. You are the one beloved. Namaste.